Look at verse number 6 there in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 6. It reads, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord, and the Lord thy God have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." The title for the sermon tonight is The Jews, God's Chosen People. The Jews, God's Chosen People. Let's keep reading verse number 7. It says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, or choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So you can see here, the reason God chose a people, and he's speaking here to the Old Testament nation of Israel, is because he had sworn an oath. He had sworn an oath that he would have a people, and he delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Okay? So as I said, the title for the sermon tonight is The Jews, God's Chosen People. This is part of the Strange Doctrine series that I've been going through. So if you're familiar with the Strange Doctrine series, it's a lot of a Bible study. We're going to be going, moving quickly, a lot of Bible verses. And again, if you can't keep up, that's fine. You can watch the sermon afterwards or take down notes if you need to look at some of the other references. Now, you know, I've told many of you guys that basically I've been in church my whole life. I mean, my parents, I was born into a Christian family, a Christian home, and we would attend church. The very first church that I really remember being part of was Cabramatta Baptist Church. So I've been a Baptist for pretty much my entire life, okay? And, you know, I would read my Bible, and I believe I had it well understood, like, even as a child, just without any biases, any trying to push any doctrine. I would read God's Word, I would look at the Old Testament, I would look at the New Testament, and it was very clear to me that there were two groups of people in this world. The unbelieving, the unsaved, those that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the saved, those that do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For me as a child, it was black and white, two groups of people. And it doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter, you know, anything about your social status or your DNA or your ethnicity. You know, you either you're part of the saved, you believed on Jesus, or you're unsaved. And the saved will have an eternal home in heaven, and the unsaved will die and go to hell. Okay? And actually, you know, even that truth is the truth. Okay? That is how simple the world is. There's the saved and there's the unsaved, okay? And it's our mission as saved people to bring more of those unsaved to believe on Jesus Christ and become the saved, okay? Now, in my early 20s, I started attending my first independent fundamental Baptist church, IFB. And I'm still an IFB, okay? I love those words. I love the fact that our church is independent, fundamental, and it's Baptist, okay? I truly stand by all of those titles, those names. But I started to learn an interesting doctrine that was being taught in that church. And instead of there being two groups of people, the saved and the unsaved, I started to be taught, well, there's actually three groups of people, okay? Yes, there's the unsaved, that's what they would recognize. Yes, there was the saved, and they like to categorize the saved as the church. And then the third group was the Jews, God's chosen people, the Jews. And I was thinking, well, hold on, okay, I get the unsaved, I get the saved, you can call it church if you want, okay, even if they're not going to church, I guess, if you still want to label them church, that's okay, but what are the Jews, I mean, what's their eternal destination? Are they going to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell? I was a little bit confused, because the kind of preaching I was hearing was, you know, these are God's people, you know, they're the apple of God's eye, God loves them, and basically, when there was tension in the Middle East, when there's tension in Palestine between the Jews and the Palestinians, you know, as Christians, we're just supposed to support the chosen people, the Jews. So why? Why do I support them? They don't love Jesus. They reject Jesus, don't they? I mean, I was confused, brethren, you know? And I'm trying to learn. I'm going to a good church. I'm learning a lot of great things. And I was getting confused by the teaching. And then after church service, one day I went to the pastor and I said, "Pastor, I'm a little bit confused. You keep talking about the Jews being God's chosen people." I thought that was my title. I thought that's who I was. They're the God's chosen people. Okay, they're God's chosen people. So when they die, Pastor, I'm a bit confused. Do they go to heaven or do they go to hell? My pastor turned around and said, "I haven't figured that out yet." What? You haven't figured that out yet? Here's why he said that, though. Here's why he hasn't figured it out. He did not come to that conclusion just reading the Bible. He did not come to that conclusion just in fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God and being led by the Holy Spirit of God. He came to that conclusion because of Bible college. That's the only reason people say these things. Bible college or the courses that they receive from Bible college. And you know what? It's created a generation of pastors that just keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again, to the point where, you know what? Even one of my Baptist pastor friends that I have on Facebook, he was just constantly posting, "I stand with Israel. I support God's chosen people." I never said anything to him. He's come to realize now that was a false doctrine. Praise God. Okay? But anyway, you know, I would see these things and I realized, no, this is not from the natural reading of God's word. Okay? Because if it was from God's word, I, as a child, without any biases, would have come to that same conclusion. That there's a special group of people, you know, based on their ethnicity, based on their nationality, based on their, you know, their descendancy and the DNA, that was just extra special in this world. And that was weird to me. Because I grew up, you know, as a South, my parents being migrants, you know, to Australia, you know, I see myself as Australian, but within Australia, I'm kind of seen as a South American. And then when I go to Chile, South America, see my family there, they don't see me as a Chilean. They don't see me as a South American. They see me as an Australian. And so I grew up just not feeling part of the world, in a sense, right? In Australia, I'm not really Australian. In Chile, I'm not really Chilean. What am I? You know, but it doesn't matter. Because when I would read in the Bible, there is neither Jew nor Greek in Christ Jesus. So what does it matter? Who cares? Okay, but now all of a sudden it does matter. All of a sudden there's one group of people, the Jews, that are very special in God's eyes. You know, that are better people apparently than the Palestinians, and we should always have their backs no matter what. Well, you know what? I started to realize that's actually called racism. When you elevate one race above another race, when you lower other races compared to other races, you know what? That's racism. Okay, and unfortunately, you know, in churches, independent fundamental Baptist churches, there's a lot of racism. You know what? They would look at the conflict between the Palestinians and the Jews, and they would think the Palestinians need to be bombed. I mean, I've literally heard pastors, religious leaders, you know, Baptists, you know, say, well, those people need to be wiped out and destroyed because that land belongs to the Jews because they're God's special people. And so, listen, brethren, that is not something that is in the Word of God. Okay? Now, we did look at this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 6, which said, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. So we see special, chosen, okay, holy people. So we do see this terminology used in the Bible. But as I said, the title for the sermon today is The Jews, God's Chosen People. Is that true or false? Well, actually, it's both true and false. We'll have a look at that soon, okay? So if you can please now turn away from there and go to 2 Kings chapter 16. Go to 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse number 5. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse number 5. We're looking at the first mention of the word Jew, okay? One thing I started to find out in many of these churches, they did not know what a Jew was, okay? Many of these pastors would speak of the Old Testament saints, those that lived in the nation of Israel, and say those people were Jews. Okay, and I started to learn, hold on, are they all Jews? Was Abraham a Jew? No, but they'll say yes. Was Isaac a Jew? No, but they'll say yes. Was Israel, or Jacob, whose name became Israel, a Jew? Well, actually, no, but they will say yes. And I started to realize these guys don't even know what a Jew is. And because they look at the Jews of the Old Testament and they say, these are God's chosen people, they look at the Jews today, you know, whether in the Middle East or whatever places in the world, and they think it's the same people. They think it's the same group. And so when God said about the Israelites of old that they are special and chosen and holy, they look at those people today in the Middle East and say, well, they're special and they're chosen and they're holy. But there's a big difference. These people in the Old Testament had the God of the Bible as their God. Okay, it is essentially Old Testament Christianity. You know, Christianity is not a new religion. It did not start with Jesus. Jesus is from the beginning. Jesus is the beginning and the ending. Okay, Jesus is from everlasting. Okay, it's just that, okay, yeah, it wasn't known as Christianity before Christ, but it's the same religion. The religion of the saints of the Old Testament is the same religion that we practice today. It's just done differently. We're under different covenants. That's the key difference. But I want to show you who the Jews are in the Bible. So 2 Kings 16, verse number 5. Now, we're looking at a time in history when Israel was divided into two kingdoms, okay? The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Hey, this is many hundreds of years after Moses. Many hundreds of years after you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is the first time that the word Jew appears in your Bible. It's the first time that it's used. And it's actually about a very specific people. In 2 Kings 16, verse 5, it says, "Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel." So who's the Remaliah here? Is the king of Israel. Okay. It says here, came up to Jerusalem. So when you look at the two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, where was Jerusalem based? In the southern kingdom of Judah, right? The northern kingdom had the name of Israel, which is why you have the king of Israel there. The southern kingdom is Judah. The capital city of Judah was Jerusalem, right? So let's keep going. It says, "And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drave the Jews," there it is, "and drave the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day." So what do we learn? That the northern kingdom of Israel, with these other surrounding nations, went to war, basically, against the southern kingdom. And the people of the southern kingdom of Judah are known as the Jews. Okay, so the southern kingdom of Judah was made up of two tribes of Israel. Okay, Judah and, anyone else know? And Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin. Okay, the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, was made up of 10 tribes. Guess what? Those 10 tribes are not the Jews. Okay? Now, granted, as time goes on, you know, the name Jews and Israelites, yeah, it starts to become a little bit interchangeable in the Bible. The reason being is because we know that when the southern kingdom of Judah was taken into captivity by the Babylonians, they are the ones that came back into the land 70 years later. And because they were known as the Jews, that was a title that was basically retained up to the time of Jesus Christ when he would walk the earth, he would deal with the Jews. Okay? But the Jews are not all Israelites. You know, not all Israelites were Jews. The only Jews were those of the southern kingdom. And so this is important to understand, because I went to church thinking the whole time that Abraham was a Jew. Okay? That Isaac was a Jew. No. You know what? That name was not used for any of these people. In fact, they were definitely not Jews, because the first time God would use such a name, not Jews, but the Israelites, or the children of Israel, would literally be the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, which would make up those 12 tribes. Okay? And then many hundreds of years later, once the nation is divided into two, then the southern kingdom is known as, the people of the southern kingdom are known as the Jews. Okay? Now, I think that's a very important thing to learn, to understand. If we want to use this term correctly, are the Jews God's chosen people? Well, again, like I said, yes and no. Okay? It's all about understanding what Jews are. How does God use the term Jew, and how can we understand that today? Well, basically, when you look at your Bible, especially the Old Testament, and we can apply this to the New Testament as well, but the term Jew is used in three different ways. Okay? So can you please go to Luke chapter 2 in your New Testament? Luke chapter 2. And verse number 36. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 36. The Bible says here in Luke 2, 36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher." Now, the tribe of Asher is known as the tribe of Asher. It has an H in it in the Old Testament, okay? It says she was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her, virginity. Okay, the reason I decided to read this passage is because the tribe of Asher was not, as we know, was not part of the southern kingdom. They were the northern kingdom, right? But when Christ was walking the earth, he was dealing with the Jews. And so what we see here is the term Jew being used interchangeably with people even from other tribes. Because one thing you need to understand is, even though the southern kingdom was made up of these two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, you have people from other tribes that would eventually migrate into those nations. And eventually, that term Jew was used, you know, interchangeably with Israel. Okay? So the first point that I'm trying to make here is that you can use the word Jew for those who are physical descendants, okay, of Israel. Even though in that time it wasn't used in that time in that way until the one nation was divided into two, But you can see here in the New Testament, God dealing with the Jews, it even includes those of the northern kingdom, okay, from the tribe of Asa. Because, yes, you can say that physical descendants can be called Jews as well. That is one way the Bible uses that terminology. Can you please go to Esther chapter 8 in your Old Testament? Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8. So the first way that we can use the word Jew, or that we see it in the Bible, yes, is a physical descendant of the people of Israel, okay? Now, the second way that the Lord uses the word Jew, or can be used for the Jew, is not just a physical descendant, but someone that is part of the national nation, okay? A national identity, part of that nation, where you're not necessarily a physical descendant. And while you turn to Esther chapter 8, I'm going to read to you from Leviticus 19, verse 33, which says, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him." But the stranger, let me stop there for a moment. What's a stranger? Foreigner. Someone that's not part of that land. It says, "But the stranger or the foreigner that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God." So another way somebody would eventually become known as a Jew is if a foreigner, stranger, migrated to the nation. And if they migrated to the nation, they were not to be seen as different people. They were not to be seen as a lower class. They were to be received just like them because they were once a stranger in the land of Egypt. Okay? So you didn't have to be physically a Jew, okay? But you could be someone that became part of that nation. You had that national identity. All right? I mean, this is something that is found throughout your whole Bible. You know, the Jews, the people living in that nation, were part of different nations. You know, even when Moses led Israel out of Egypt, you know, two of the tribes that are the children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, you know, Joseph's wife was an Egyptian. Those two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, were already half Egyptian, okay? When Moses led them out of Egypt, he married a second wife, okay? I'm assuming his first wife passed away, married a second wife. Where was she from? Ethiopia. He marries an African, okay? In fact, when the people were coming out of Egypt, the Bible describes them as a mixed multitude. They weren't all just children of Israel. There were other people. There were many Egyptians even. You know, other people that would see the hand of God, and they went together with the children of Israel. The Bible calls them a mixed multitude. The reason I'm making this a point is because something else that I've heard taught incorrectly in churches is that the Jews just kept themselves pure. You know, they only married amongst themselves. You know, that they would not marry of another nationality or other people. That is so false. It is proven false over and over and over in the Bible. They were constantly mixing with different people. And yes, you know what? God did instruct them not to mix with other people who had a false God, okay? And even then, they were still mixing with those people eventually, even though they were disobedient in that sense, okay? But there is no pure blood Jews, special chosen people that have kept themselves pure. They've been mixed from the very beginning. They've been mixed from their very birth as a nation. You know, the one leading them, Moses, was married to an Ethiopian, okay? So this idea they just kept themselves pure, it's rubbish. But the point I've driven so far is, yes, physical descendants could be called Jews. National people, you know, being part of a nation, not physical, but just part of a nation from other tribes, or sorry, from other nations that wanted to make the God of Israel their God, they also became known as Jews. And now you're in Esther chapter 8, verse number 15. There's a third way people were known as Jews. In Esther chapter 8, verse number 15, it says, "And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor." So the book of Esther is about God basically redeeming the Jews from being destroyed in Persia. Okay, but notice verse number 17. It says, "And in every province," so this is in Persia, this is not Israel, okay? "In every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day." Now notice the next words. "And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them." Who are the people of the land? The Persians. The Persians became Jews. You say, how did they become a Jew? Did they somehow get special DNA privilege, you know, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Is that how they became Jews? No. Did they become Jews because they migrated to the land of Israel? They went to the Holy Land? They became national citizens? Is that how they became Jews? No. They're still in Persia. How did they become Jews then? Well, the third way somebody could become a Jew in the Old Testament was spiritually. They spiritually became Jews. They saw the hand of God, how he had rescued or delivered the Jews. And they said, you know what? We want to be like you. We want to be the same people. We want the same God. Okay? We want the God of Israel, the God of the Jews to be our God. And we want to be his people. That's how these Persians became Jews. Okay? So it wasn't physical. It wasn't national. It was spiritual. They believed on the Lord God of Israel. Okay? Now, this is important for us to understand, because often when we go to church, we hear Jews, 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 but you need to understand there are three ways to understand this concept. What, physical, national, or spiritual? You know, these are things to understand. And unfortunately, because of modern dispensationalism and the Zionist movement, Christians, yes, unfortunately Christians, yes, Baptists, for whatever reason, they don't understand these three concepts. They only think of Jews as a physical descendant. They say, well, those people in the Middle East, those are physical Jews. So they're special and chosen. Or were they special and chosen because they worshiped the God of the Bible? Which one? You know, why did people come and become national citizens of Israel? Was it because the land was great? Or did they just want to worship the same God that Israel was supposed to worship? You know, what is it that makes you special and chosen and that holy nation? Is it the physical or is it the spiritual? Okay, now can you please go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 7? Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 7. I want you to notice that it's not just Christians and Baptists in 2021 that praise the Jews in the Middle East, because they're physical descendants of Abraham, supposedly. In fact, there's some research that basically says that they're not physical descendants, but who knows anyway, okay? Because they're very white, they're very European, okay? Who knows, okay? I mean, I'm that's endless genealogies at the end of the day, okay? But look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 7. This was not just something that was being taught today, you know, oh man, the special chosen people. It's something that John the Baptist even dealt with, okay? And Jesus Christ even dealt with in the Bible. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 7. It says here, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And look at this, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. So what are these Pharisees and Sadducees boasting about? Abraham's our father. We're physical descendants of Abraham. That's why they think they're right with God. They think we're physical Jews. Surely we're right with God. Surely we're the chosen people. What does John the Baptist say? He says, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You know what John the Baptist is saying? You're no more important than these stones on the ground. God can create children out of these stones. Okay? That being a physical descendant of Abraham means nothing. Okay? It's just as useless as stones. That's not what makes you chosen. That's not what makes you God's special people. So you can see this was an issue even in the time of John the Baptist. People were boasting of themselves, I'm a physical descendant of Abraham. You know, racism, once again, right? We're special because of our ethnicity. We're special because of our nationality. That's what they thought. Now, if you can please go to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 28. In the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse number 15. Because Christians today that praise the Jews in the Middle East, you know, I'll just say to them, why are you doing that? Okay, God can create his children out of stones. Why is that so important? You know, John the Baptist would be preaching this sermon much better than I could. Comparing physical descendancy with stones. It's something that doesn't even have life. You know, these rocks don't even have life. It's not what makes you important. Your physical descendants does not make you important. It saddens me that this stuff is being taught in our churches. Now let's talk about the national identity once again here, or the Zionist movement. Again, there's that Zionist movement that are basically, hey, holy land that belongs to the Jews and not to the Palestinians. Let's displace the Palestinians and bring in the Jews. You know what? Many of those Palestinians probably also have, you know, are probably descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as well. What makes them different? You know, they both have false religion. You know, I mean, you know, the Palestinians are mainly Muslims, but not just Muslims. There are Christians there as well. You know, Jews, yeah, Jews, they reject Jesus Christ as well. What makes them one better than the other? You know, it's sad that this stuff gets promoted in our churches. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 15. Look what God says. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. What is God saying? If you don't follow after my ways, if you don't keep this covenant that I've made with you, God's going to curse the people. He's going to curse that nation. Drop down to verse number 63. We have a list of curses that will fall upon them. Drop down to verse number 63. Look at one of the curses that would fall upon them. It says in verse number 63, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you. Let me stop there for a moment. Does God rejoice to reward the good that God's people does? Yeah, God loves it, right? You know, when Israel would do well, they would be obedient. God would rejoice to do them good. Let's keep going. So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, that you might be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. So what is God promising them? If you don't keep the commandments, if you don't follow in my way, if you reject this covenant that I have with you, I'm going to curse you and you're going to be displaced from off the land. Okay? Here's what's strange. Have the Jews today believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they obeying God today? No, they reject and hate Jesus Christ. And then there are Christians going, hey, bring them back to the land. Why? When God says when they're not right with him that they're going to be displaced off the land. As Christians, we should be saying, hey, that's not their land because they don't believe on Jesus Christ. It's not their land because they don't love God. Say, well, they love the Father. No, if they don't love the Son, they don't love the Father. If they don't have the Son, they don't have the Father. They don't have the God of the Bible. They have a false religion. Any religion that rejects Jesus Christ is a false religion. So why are Christians going, that's their land, bring them back in the land, when God says, no, I'm going to scatter them. That's the right response for these Christ-rejecting Jews. So national identity, forget the nation. That's not important to God. What's important to God is obedience, doing what is right, you know, worshiping the one true God, which in the New Testament, we know him as Jesus Christ. But they rejected him. They killed the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you please turn to Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1. So we've seen the physical in the New Testament. I mean, that's not important. Even stones can be made into children of God. We've seen the national identity, where they're going to be scattered if they don't follow after the Lord. They don't believe in Christ, and they're rightfully to be scattered, right? It's the rightful thing. It's the right thing for us Christians to support them being scattered, not on the land. Okay? What about spiritual Jews? Today, the religion of the Jews is known as Judaism, isn't it? Some people believe that Judaism of today is the same religion they had in the Old Testament. That's how they teach it. Okay, no. As I began teaching, the religion of the Old Testament of the Jews that were saved, the Israelites that were saved, is just Old Testament Christianity. That's what it is. You know, what we do in the New Testament is just a continuation of the same faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Once again, if they reject Jesus, it's not the same religion. Okay? Judaism is a false religion. Okay? It's not just Old Testament faith without New Testament glasses. No, it is completely false. Okay? Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse number 11. But I certify you, brethren, these are the words of Paul the apostle, okay, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we have Paul speaking about the gospel which was revealed by Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse number 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So Paul says now, hey, now I have the gospel, now I believe on Jesus Christ, but in my former life, I had the Jews' religion. Do you notice how Paul differentiates the religion that he had of the Jews? He said, no, that's false. That's not the gospel. That doesn't lead you to Jesus Christ. He goes, but now I have the gospel, which has been revealed to me through Jesus Christ. Okay? So the Jews' religion, you go, well, what religion was that? Was that Old Testament, what we read, you know, is that the same religion that, you know, Moses had or Abraham had? No, it wasn't the same religion, okay? Paul, if you know, was trained to be a Pharisee, okay? So the Jews' religion that he's speaking about is the teachings that he received being trained up as a Pharisee, okay? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, these were groups, these were false religions, these were people that rejected Jesus Christ, they were basically the enemies of Christ during his ministry, okay? And, you know, the root of Judaism or the root of the Pharisees is not Old Testament Bible, okay? It's not the law or you know, the first five books of Moses. It is basically the Talmud. Okay? The Talmud is their religious text, okay? This is not biblical. These are things that were pagan, basically religion, mixed with the Jews' religion of the past, you know, passed down verbally, eventually written down in several books. You know, you go to a synagogue today, you'll be able to find the Talmud on the shelves, right? These are their religious books. This is what they follow. They don't follow the Old Testament. Jesus Christ said if you believed Moses, you would have believed on him. You would have believed me, okay? So the fact that the Jews do not believe in Jesus proves they do not believe in Moses, okay? If you believed in Moses, if you truly believed in the Old Testament writings, you would have automatically believed on Jesus Christ. So, you know, when we think about Jews today, okay, wow, they're physical descendants. Who cares? God can make his people out of stones. Oh, but they're national. Okay, who cares? God says, you know what? He's going to scatter them if they don't do what is right, if they don't follow after the Lord. Well, they've been scattered. Oh, spiritually, yeah, their religion today is a false religion that has nothing to do with what God taught Moses and Abraham, etc., all his saints. It's got nothing to do with the Old Testament Bible. Okay? So you're in Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Go to Galatians chapter 3. So who are the Jews? Who are the true Jews? Are the Jews God's chosen people? Well, if you measure Jews by physical descendancy, no, they're not God's chosen people. God doesn't care about that. If you think about Jews as someone that has a citizenship in that nation, that's not God's chosen people. If you measure it by those that follow the false religion of Judaism, they're not God's chosen people. They hate Jesus Christ. Okay? So are the Jews God's chosen people? They are. But who are they? Okay? Who are they? Galatians chapter 3, verse number 6. Now the reason many Baptists and many Christians today claim that they're God's chosen people, apple of God's eyes, is because they believe the promises that God gave to Abraham is still in effect for those people today that are physical descendants, okay? But look what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him to righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, look at this, the same are the children of Abraham. Are you of faith? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith on Christ? Then what does it say here? The same are the children of Abraham. You know who we are? The children of Abraham. I'm not ashamed of saying that. Oh, wow, what are you saying, Pastor Kevin? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Abraham's my father. That's what I'm saying, okay? The same faith that Abraham had is the same faith that I have on the Lord Jesus Christ. The promises that were given to Abraham are given to his people, Abraham's children, which I'm part of. And if you're saved, you're part of. Okay? Let's keep going. Verse number 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Wow, Abraham. So you have children in all nations? All nations will be blessed, not just the Jews. Yeah, all nations shall be blessed. Anybody of any nation that places their faith on Jesus Christ is blessed with faithful Abraham. That's why it doesn't matter what you are. Who cares? Who cares about your nationality? What's important is, are you of the faith? Have you believed on Jesus Christ? Because if you have, hey, you're part of all the nations that have placed their faith, and you're children of Abraham. Verse number 9, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Drop down to verse number 16, please. Verse number 16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. See, so many churches, many Baptists, many IFB will say, well, see, that seed is the physical nation of Israel. That seed includes those of the physical descendants that are in the Middle East right now fighting the Palestinians. They have the blessings of Abraham, they'll say. Well, let's read it again, verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. But notice this, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. Oh, wow, okay, yeah, you're right. Seed is singular. There's one seed. Well, who's that seed? Well, that's the Jews. No, that's what they teach. Strange teaching, brethren. The Strange Doctrines series this is, okay? I mean, how many times have I heard that the Jews or Israel, in the physical Israelites, are the seed of Abraham? I'm sure we've all heard it at some place, okay? But what does it say here? Let's read it carefully. Let's not miss it. This is so important, okay? Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. So when God promised Abraham, he gave him the promises, the blessings. It was to Abraham and to his seed. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. What is the seed of Abraham? Christ. Christ is the seed of Abraham. How can you say Christ rejecting Jews are the seed? How can you say that when the Bible says the seed is Jesus Christ? Drop down to verse number 26. For ye, who's ye? The Galatians? Were the Galatians Jews? No, they're Gentiles. It's a Gentile church, okay? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse number 28. For there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And look at this. And if ye be Christ's, if ye belong to Christ, it says, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're heirs to the promise. We're going to inherit the promises that God gave Abraham. We are the seed that was mentioned there, Abraham and his seed. Why are we the seed? Because we're in the seed, which is Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are the children of Abraham, you are the children of God, and these promises have been made to you. Not to a Christ rejecting nation. Not to people that believe a false religion. They're not the seed. They are not in Christ Jesus. I mean, look, I mean, I'm teaching this. I might sound angry a little bit, but it's so basic. It's so basic even a child can understand. You know, even me as a little child reading my Bible could understand this. And then I go to church and they're telling me, no, it's not you. It's the Jews. It's the Christ rejecting Jews that are the seed. They're God's chosen people, so-called. Wow. How messed up do you have to be? I mean, I could not preach that any clearer. That could not be any clearer there in Galatians chapter 3. Christ is the seed. And if you're in Christ, you're children of Abraham. You know, you're of the faith. Those promises are to you. When you read the book of Genesis and you see God making promises to Abraham, you say, well, that's to me. That's to me because I'm in Jesus Christ. Can you please, stay in Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So guess what? We are Abraham's children. I can say that. And it's not because I'm a physical descendant. I could maybe. I don't know. Who knows? We're so mixed these days. Maybe we are. I don't know. Okay? But I am because of faith. Okay? That's what truly makes you a child of Abraham. Okay? Your faith. The Pharisees did not have the faith of Abraham. Okay? I'm going to read to you from Colossians chapter 3. You stay there in Galatians 6. I'll read to you from Colossians 3, verse number 10. What is a Jew? Who are the chosen people? Colossians chapter 3, verse number 10. It says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." You know what? If you're saved, you have the new man inside of you. That's the born-again spirit created by God. Okay? So that's talking about the new man. Then it says in verse number 11, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision." You know that new man is neither Greek nor Jew. Okay? It's not circumcised or uncircumcised. "Barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Okay? So that new man, the born-again spirit, is in Christ, according to Colossians chapter 3. Okay? Neither Jew nor Greek. Okay? That new man has no earthly nationality. Okay? Now you're in Galatians chapter 6, look at verse number 15. It repeats the same truth here. Galatians 6:15, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Hey, that new creature is what was said in Colossians as the new man. Okay? Same thing. And then it says, but a new creature, verse number 16, "But as many as walk according to this rule," what rule? Well, the rule that we're in Christ Jesus and that we are the new creature. We have that new creature. "But as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Say, what is the Israel of God? Is it in the Middle East somewhere? Is that the Holy Land? Is that the Israel of God? No. If you're saved, if you have the new creature, the new man, that's the Israel of God. You know what? That new man does have a nationality. Israel of God. You want the Israel of the earth, Christ rejecting nation? Forget it. Who are these people? It's the Israel of God that matters, the new man, the one that is in Christ Jesus. Can you please turn to Romans chapter 2? Romans chapter 2 and verse number 28. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 28. Now we have to read this slowly and carefully, okay? I don't want anyone to say that I'm twisting scripture here. I think, to me, it's black and white, easy to understand. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 28. It says, "For he is not a Jew." Oh, who's not a Jew? "For he is not a Jew." Who's not a Jew? "Which is one outwardly." Oh, wow. Pastor Kevin, don't you know those are God's special chosen Jews out there in the Middle East? Are they outwardly Jews? Then they're not God's people. Okay? He's not a Jew. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. But they're circumcised. Remember? Circumcision? That's what God asked them to do in the Old Testament. They're still doing it in their false religion of Judaism. It keeps going. It says, "Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh." So just because they're circumcised doesn't mean they're a Jew. So who are the Jews? Verse number 29. "But he is a Jew." Who is a Jew? "Which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." Amen. Brethren, you know what? You're a Jew inwardly. You've been circumcised not in the flesh but in the heart. Amen. What does circumcision represent? The putting off of the flesh. You know what? When you got saved, you had no confidence in the flesh. Salvation is not, boy, look at me, I'm such a good person, look at my great works, look how I follow Christ. That's not salvation. You put off the flesh and you believe with your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you've done that, you circumcise the heart. That new man, that new creature is the Jew inwardly. Someone claims to be a Jew on the outward, and I'm a physical descendant, right? I'm part of the national, I'm part of the nation, right? I've got my citizenship, but no, you're not a Jew. Okay, the Jews in the New Testament are those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with their hearts. The circumcision of the heart, inwardly. Inwardly. I mean, again, is that difficult to understand? It shouldn't be. That should be straightforward. Okay. Now, they claim they're Jews, don't they? They claim they're Jews. I'm going to quickly read to you from Revelation chapter 3, verse number 9. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He says, "Behold, I will make them." He's speaking to a New Testament church here. We are a New Testament church. You could say the Lord is speaking to us, if you want, in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 9. It says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue. Oh, synagogue, that's the Jewish place that they worship. The synagogue of Satan. Why is it the synagogue of Satan? Because it's a Christ-rejecting religion. That's why it's a synagogue of Satan. Any religion that rejects Jesus Christ is a religion of Satan. Okay? Which, look, and then it says, which say they are Jews. Do they say they're Jews? Do they worship in a synagogue? Yeah. And are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Whoa. Jesus Christ, who do you love? He loves his believers. Okay? And these people that claim to be Jews, you know what? They're going to have to humble themselves. They're going to eat humble pie one day. And they're going to acknowledge that it's the believers, those that have been circumcised in the heart, that are truly the ones that Jesus Christ loves. Does Christ love false religion of Judaism? Of course not. He calls it the synagogue of Satan. Then why are so many Christians saying, we need to support these people? Yeah, bomb the Palestinians. Give them their land. It's contrary to Scripture. Our churches have been blinded. Well, I love my brethren that believe these things. I feel sorry for them. They've been misled. They've been deceived. They're preaching heresy. Not damnable heresy, but they're preaching wrong things. Okay? And it's a great thing for all believers. Doesn't matter what your nationality is. Jew, Greek, who cares? You believe on Christ, you're part of the Israel of God. You know what's going to solve racism? Understanding that God's people, it's a free gift. Doesn't matter who we are. We believe on Christ. Doesn't matter what our nationality is. You know, I would hate for this church to become one nationality. Right? Just Greeks. Right? Just Filipinos. Just Chileans. You know, I would hate that. You know what? Because we're all people. We're of all nations. All nations have been blessed because of the faith of Abraham. You place that same faith on Jesus Christ, you are part of the Israel of God. You are a Jew inwardly. Okay? God's chosen people. All right, go to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. I better hurry up. Zechariah chapter 8. There is one passage that keeps getting quoted every time I talk to Christians about this topic. They turn to Zechariah chapter 8. Look at verse number 23. Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 23. Maybe you've heard this verse quoted. It's quite a famous verse. And they claim that this verse proves that the Jews today are just God's special people. Okay? Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. Oh, wow. Okay. So you got all these people from other nations trying to get a hold of the clothing of a Jew. Okay, what's this about? Okay. Saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. See, the Jews, the physical Jews, compared to all the other people of the other nations. Okay? God is with them. Don't you see that? And the context of this passage is, of course, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's about future events. Okay? So, are Jews very special in that time? Well, yes, according to this passage. But again, who are the Jews? Isn't that what we're trying to figure out? Who are these chosen people? Who are these holy people? But they'll look at that passage and say, see, the Jew is very special in the millennium. All other people of the nations are just trying to touch their clothing. Just let me touch a little bit of the Jew because God is with you. How do we answer that? Well, if we backtrack a little bit, let's go to verse number 6. Because God tells us who these people are. God tells us in Zechariah who the Jews are. Okay? Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 6. And then we're going to compare it to the New Testament. Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days. Now, let me just stop there for a moment. I've taught on this not long ago. The remnant. This gets repeated so many times in the Bible. Who are the remnant? The saved. Amen? Those that believe on Jesus Christ. It's the remnant. It's very few that believe on Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go into that topic, but immediately, when you see the word remnant there, you should go, hold on, these are saved people. Okay? Not people that believe a false religion of Judaism. These are saved people. Okay, let's keep going. The remnant of these people in these days, should it be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people. So his people, who are the people? Must be the Jews. Okay, well, hold on, yeah. I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Wow, hold on. So God's people are from the east and from the west? Now, if you know your New Testament quite well, you're probably familiar with this kind of language, okay? Keep your finger there in Zechariah, and please go to Matthew chapter 8. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 10. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 10. Remember, God's people are from the east and from the west, okay? Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 10. This is after Christ was dealing with a centurion and he was amazed at his faith, okay? A non-Jew, he was amazed at a Gentile's faith. But we won't look at that topic right now, just look at verse number 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So Jesus Christ is amazed at a Gentile's faith. Because man, I've never seen such great faith. Nobody in Israel has so much faith as this Gentile. Okay? Let's keep going. Verse number 11. These are the words of Jesus Christ. These are not my words. These are the words of Jesus. He says, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west. So what is he talking about there? Gentile nations. Okay? Nations that are from the east and the west of Israel. Like the Roman centurion. And look at this, and shall sit down with Abraham. Well, that makes sense if they're children of Abraham, they have such great faith. They will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Don't forget Jacob's name became Israel. I mean, if you're going to identify somebody as Israel, it's Jacob. And these people from the east and the west are sitting together with these great men. Hold on, what's this? In the kingdom of heaven? Look at verse number 12. But the children of the kingdom, hey, those are the Jews, shall be cast out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what? That outer darkness is hell. Okay? When they're being tormented, they're going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth. The same Jews, the same physical Jews, or the national Jews that did not have the faith of Abraham, they did not have such great faith, okay? They did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people are going to be cast out of the kingdom and thrown into hell. And guess who's going to fellowship in the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to be in fellowship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Those from the east, those from the west, those from other nations. Because those are the people that are Jews inwardly. Okay? Again, just because you're outward, who cares? You're going to go to hell when you die, rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, if these Christians, if these churches really love the Jews, they would stop talking about how chosen and special they are. And start saying, hey, they're wicked sinners and they need to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. The same message to the Jews as it is to the Palestinians. Same message to the Jews, to the Chinese. Same message to the Jews and to the Australian. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If we truly love these people, that's what you'll tell them. They're lost, they're going to hell, they have a false religion, they need to believe on Jesus to be saved. Hey, I love the Jews. I love them. You know, I love the lost. We're commanded to love the lost. The greatest love we can have to the lost is to go out there, preach the gospel. Doesn't matter which door we knock. You know, doesn't matter if it's a Syrian that we knock. Doesn't matter if it's a Chilean's door that we knock. Doesn't matter if it's a true blue, multiple generation Aussie. Doesn't matter if it's an Aboriginal man or woman that answers the door. Doesn't matter if it's a Jew. It's our job to love the lost and give them the gospel, regardless of the nationality. Hey, if they die without Jesus Christ, they're going to be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you keep your, actually no, go back to Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 8. So, hey, even within that same chapter, who are the Jews there? Who are these special people that God is with? Well, God already told us the people from the east and the west. Okay? So it's not just this special, you know, physical people. No, it's made up of all people, the Jews, inwardly. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse number 8. It says here, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. And that must be the Jews. Well, don't forget, you know, Christ also says this. Oh, sorry, in the New Testament we get taught this. I'll quickly read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16 says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye," that's you, "are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's the Corinthian church. That's to a Gentile church. God is saying, I will be your God, you will be my people. When you read the book of Zechariah, he says it once again, "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." So who is God speaking about there? Christ rejecting Jews? Or Jews that believe on Jesus Christ? Okay, literally Jews that are inwardly, not the outward Christ rejecting Jews. There is one other passage that I think is really important for us to turn to. Please go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 10. Genesis 28, verse number 10. And we know that God made a promise to Abraham. Remember Abraham and his seed? Well, that same promise of blessing the nations was also passed down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Don't forget, Jacob is literally Israel. His name was changed to Israel. His sons became known as the patriarchs of the tribes of Israel. So we're dealing with Israel here. Okay, Jacob, verse number 10. Genesis 28, verse number 10. "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." There's the seed again. Who's the seed? Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's keep going. Verse number 14. "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth." Oh, wow. Well, remember, we're all part of that seed. If you believe on Christ, if you're in Christ Jesus. Okay? So this seed will be as the dust of the earth. "And thou shalt spread abroad," look at this, "to the west and to the east." We've looked at that before. But now it says, "and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Once again, all the families of the earth will be blessed, because salvation is to all the families, is to all the nations, for those that believe on Jesus Christ. It is not just one special, chosen, physical nation or something, brethren. That is so anti-biblical. I don't understand how people swallow this stupid doctrine, this strange doctrine. All you're doing is encouraging these people to die without Christ. Well done, you're chosen. Now die and go to hell. What's the point? Praising and worshiping these Jews outwardly. They need Jesus Christ is what they need. But I want you to notice once again that these families of the earth, that Jacob or Israel and his seed are going to spread east, north, south, east, west. Okay? One more passage for you to turn to. Please go to Luke 13. Luke 13, verse number 28. Luke 13, verse number 28. I guess as Aussies, I was born in Australia, I guess I'm south, okay? Because it's the Southland, right? Australia is the Southland, the great Southland. So, am I part of this seed or am I not? Am I part of these blessings? You know, are these promises mine since I was born in Australia? We'll go to Luke 13, verse number 28. Luke 13, verse number 28. Again, the words of Jesus, not the words of Pastor Kevin Sepulveda, the words of Jesus Christ. Verse number 28, it says, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's again a reference to hell. "When ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Who was thrust out? Christ rejecting Jews. People that gloried in their physical Jewishness or the circumcision. These people are getting thrust out of the kingdom. Okay? They're going to, again, weep and gnash at the teeth, and they're cast into hell. Okay, so this is the same teaching that we saw before. But notice verse number 29. "And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." Yes, even Aussies from the south. "And shall sit down in the kingdom of God." Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know what? The Bible's consistent. It's not like, well, God promised just the Jews in the Old Testament, and then he kind of just opened the doors in the Old Testament, and then opened the doors in the New Testament. It's always been open. The promises from the very beginning are to all the families of the earth, to all the nations, north, south, east, and west. It didn't matter. If people believed on the Lord God of the Bible, they would be saved. The Jews today, brethren, they are not God's chosen people. Actually, I lied to you. Please turn to one more passage. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. I'm almost done. Sorry, guys. I think I've gone a bit over time. But 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. The title of the sermon was, The Jews, God's Chosen People. Well, are the Jews God's chosen people? Yes. Because we're it. Just accept it. Okay? You're a Jew inwardly. That's what's chosen. Okay? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation. Hey, are you the chosen people? Absolutely. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Praise God. What's that nation again? The Israel of God. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what? If you've been called out of darkness, you've been saved, you're in the light of Jesus Christ. You are part of that holy nation, that Israel of God. You are the chosen generation. You are, I am, the chosen people. Praise God for his truth. Okay? It's not that God has just somehow changed things around. It's always been the truth. Anyone that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, even Gentiles in the Old Testament that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Just like the Persians. Guess what? They became Jews, okay? Because they worshipped, they believed the true God of the Bible. And so, brethren, the Jews, God's chosen people, it's true because it's us. It's all believers. Greek, Jew, who cares? Aussie, doesn't matter. As long as you're saved, you've been circumcised in the heart, believe in the Lord, that new man is the true Jew, okay? It's the chosen people. And those that have a physical descendancy, false religion, a false nation of God, they claim to be, it's not, okay? That reject Jesus Christ, brethren, they're under the curse of God. When they die, they're going to go to hell, okay? And if we truly love those people, we would give them the gospel, okay? We wouldn't treat them any special, more special than others. And when you treat one people, one ethnicity, one nation over another nation, that makes you a racist. It makes you a racist, okay? God's never been racist. The blessings to Abraham and to seed were to all families of the earth from the very beginning. Okay, let's pray.